Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, a very familiar passage at Christmas time. We love to look at this passage and read this passage, and it begins like this. It says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem." In some places, I think some translations say, arrived from afar in Jerusalem. Verse 2 says, saying, Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. I've always thought that was kind of curious that it says there that King Herod was deeply disturbed. You know, and I realize that that describes Christmas in a lot of ways. We talk about Christmas being a season of peace, and we all want peace at this time. But Christmas is a very stressful time. I'm singing into the choir, aren't I here? I mean, it can be a very troubling time. It can be a time where it's just very unsettling, and we see this in God's Word. And I've thought about why that is. Why is it that Christmas oftentimes is very, very stressful? And I think the reason for that is this, is that there's a lot of change at Christmas. We do things at Christmas time that we don't do any other time. Have you thought about that? I mean, we eat certain foods at Christmas that we don't eat the rest of the year. It's very rich, a lot of rich foods at Christmas. We drink things at Christmas we don't drink throughout the rest of the year. We think differently at Christmas than we think the rest of the year. You know, I mean, like I can go out with the kids, And Lisa can tell me things through the year that she wants. Hey, I'd like this. This would be kind of neat one time. And I don't think anything of it. I'll just expect Lisa to go out and get it or something, you know. But at Christmas time, when she tells me those things, I've got to lock these things down. And when I go into a store with the kids and Lisa's not with us, I got to be asking them, what was it Mom said she wanted again? Because it's stressful. You know, we play games at Christmas that we don't normally play the rest of the year. We play games like Dirty Santa, which I think is a very evil game. John, can I pause here for a second, Megan? I don't want to take any of your time, guys, but I just want to share you my disdain for Dirty Santa. I think it's a game that should never be played amongst church people. I really do. Last night, we played this Dirty Santa. We played it every year since I've been here. And every year I say, oh, man, I wish we really didn't play this game. And about 6 or 7 years ago, there was a gift that emerged at these Dirty Santa games, and it was a gift where somebody took my picture, and I signed it. You know, I said, I think it to my favorite person or something like that. You know, I signed it, and all of a sudden it came up as a gift. It would be auctioned at fall festivals, and there would be always comments about this picture. Well, the past 3 to 4 years, this picture's disappeared, and I've been so glad. I said, oh, you know, because I sweat every year. I said, oh, man, I hope this picture never shows up. Guess what? Last night, it came back. It came back, and I thought, oh, no. And all these comments came back with it. You know, at one point, somebody had to attach a $10 bill to it because they knew it wouldn't be with any value otherwise. And so they attached a $10 bill to it, and I think it was Ron that made the comment, you could put $50 on there, and I still wouldn't want that gift. I don't have a heart of stone, people. I mean, I really. And what was worse was Lisa. I'll be honest with you. That probably hurt the worst because somebody made a comment, Lisa, why don't you go over there and get the picture? And she said, well, I've got the real thing. And that would be a nice thing to say if it didn't sound like what she was saying was, I wish I had the picture, but I've got the real thing. I have got to settle for the real thing, you know. And then after it was all said and done, after it was all finished, Lisa's about one of the last ones. She's changing gifts with everybody. Again, this picture came with $10. It all came down to Stacy felt sorry for me. And she took the gift She took the picture. She's got the picture and the $10 over there. So Lisa goes over there, and it's going to be one of those great Christmas moments when it's warm. Husband and wife reconnect. We have a good time of hugging there, you know, because Lisa goes over the picture. She's going to get the picture. She's going to come back, and we're going to hang it on our wall. But that's not how it happened. Lisa went over. She took the $10 off the picture and left the picture there. And these are the kind of games that we play. No wonder King Herod was deeply troubled. No wonder he was deeply disturbed. Because things like this happen at Christmas time that don't normally happen throughout the rest of the year. And so sometimes we rush over that and realize that, man, Christmas is really stressful. We see it at the very first Christmas, and the reason for that is because there's a lot of change. That's what King Herod was really afraid of. He was afraid of a lot of change. There's something else that's really struck me when I read this passage, and I wanted to share it with you. The thing that struck me, and we've read this over and over again, haven't we? We know this passage very well, but I don't want to rush too fast past this, because here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that these wise men came from the east. Now, we know that, we don't need to change our nativity scenes, but there was more than three. I mean, there was a caravan. They were traveling about 1,000 miles. As far as Owensboro is to Denver, this is how far these people traveled. But the question I've always had is this: why did they come at all? They are 1,000 miles away. Can you picture that? They are 1,000 miles away, and they want to come to see Jesus. What got them interested in Jesus in the first place? How did they even know that Jesus was going to be here? I'll tell you how they knew. Because they came from a region of Babylon. They came from modern-day Iraq, modern-day Iran, Persia, and Babylon. They came from that region. You know why they came from that region? Because these people, the word for these people, wise men, was a word called magi. It's where we get our word magic from. But they weren't sorcerers. They weren't magicians. Magi in that time were people who were very well studied. They were scientists. They had done some research. For 500 years, they've been studying the same topic. Can you believe this? 500 years. What have they been studying? They've been studying the writings of Daniel. Because Daniel was in captivity in Babylon, they've been looking at this and looking at this, and they know that at some point in time, a Messiah is going to arrive. How do they know that? Because in Daniel chapter 9, the angel Gabriel appears to Daniel, not in a dream, not in a vision, but face to face, and he says, Daniel, when the Jews go back to Jerusalem, from that time, until the Messiah is cut off, meaning this Messiah is crucified, will be 483 years. You can count it. And they began to study that. They began to research that. So when Cyrus the Persian king released the Jews back to Jerusalem and told them you can build the temple, you can rebuild Jerusalem, that was 444 B.C., I think this is one of the most amazing prophecies that exist in the Bible. 444 B.C., they went back to Jerusalem. They began to rebuild the temple. If you look at the Jewish calendar, from 483 years, just like Gabriel said, 483 years to the day down to 33 A.D. when Jesus was crucified, it was exact. Exactly 483 years. How did they know to go back to expect the Messiah to arrive? They knew because they were studying what had been said about the Messiah. I think that is amazing. I think that is tremendous. And I didn't want to rush past that without sharing that with you. Verse 3 says, when King Herod heard all this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Christ would be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they told him, because this is what was written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. Verse 10 says, I love this. We've been talking about our vision of wanting to see Jesus. When they saw the star, when they saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with joy. They were filled with joy, the Bible says. Verse 11, entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. If you have your Bibles, keep them open to Matthew chapter 2. This time of year, very popular scene is the nativity scene. We've got several nativity ornaments out, and we like to display that at Christmas time, and it kind of gives us that picture. Usually there's Mary and Joseph in there and baby Jesus. There's some animals, and there's maybe a shepherd, an angel in the nativity scene. But usually there's always these guys who appear in there, and we generally consider that they are the wise men, that those are the wise people. And again, we do that because there was three gifts, and there's probably a lot more of them than that. But I heard about a Sunday school teacher who was looking at the nativity scene, and she was talking to her Sunday school class, and she said, you know, we talk about this at Christmas. We talk about all the people that were present when Jesus was born and when they were there. And she said, but I would like to see what you think. You've read the Bible and you've talked about Christmas over and over. So what do you think the nativity scene looked like? So if you wouldn't mind, just take out your papers and crayons and just draw a picture of what you think that nativity scene looked like. And a lot of them did what they saw. You know, I mean, the regular nativity scene, the stable, everything like that. But she was looking at one little boy's picture, and it looked like a fire truck. It looked like a fire truck and firefighters coming away from this fire truck. And so she stopped asking. She said, hey, you know what? That's neat. I like the way you did that. Is that what I think it is? Is that a fire truck? He said, yeah. Yeah, it sure is. And she said, well, are those firefighters coming from the fire truck? And he said, yeah. Yeah, it sure is. And she said, well, you know what? I've never seen that before. Do you think there was a fire truck at when Jesus was born? He said, yes, absolutely. And she said, why do you think that? And he said, because the Bible says they came from afar. Now I don't know if the wise guys were actually firefighters or not. I think there are some firefighters here today that would say, of course they were firefighters. The Bible says they were wise men. And I know that you would probably agree with that. But we have this picture sometimes of Christmas that really doesn't mesh with really what Christmas is all about. And the truth of Christmas is what the wise men were following. They really were. They were following the truth. They were following what they believed in. What child is this? This is a child to be believed in. They believed in it so much that they wanted to travel that distance. I want to come back to a couple verses here. And verse 2 says, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising. Then over in verse 9, it says, after hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. The interesting thing about these people was this. They followed Jesus. They stayed focused on Jesus. Everything to them that was important about this time was Jesus. There was a lot of distractions. There was the king that stood before them. There was all these people. There were all these activities. At Christmas time, there's a lot of distractions. There's a lot going on. But the focus is Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus and not about him. I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's all about Jesus, not about me. I'll be honest with you. I've been looking forward to these times. Last week, we had Debbie come, and Debbie shared with us about we need to exemplify Christ at Christmas time and look for ways in which we can celebrate kindness and be kind to others, and we need to do that. Today, we've got somebody else coming that's going to share with us what this child means to him, and that's Brian Hale. And I'm going to ask Brian if he'll come now.
Good morning, Panther Creek family. I just want to share a little about what Jesus has done in my life. I grew up, and the first things I remember asking was, where's my dad? And I was told from a very young age that my father didn't want me. He didn't want to be in my life. So most of my life, I would not get attached to anybody. I isolated most of my life. I struggled with alcohol and drug addiction from age 15 on. I had depression some days so bad that I couldn't speak. I would hide in other rooms or in a garage. I just didn't even want to be looked at. I had anxiety attacks so bad that any time I eat out, it was at a drive-thru. Going to a fair or a carnival with my son, I would be so nervous that my son would ask me constantly, "Are you all right, Daddy?" 18 months ago, I was on the verge of divorce. My alcohol and drug addiction had got as bad as it has ever been. I wasn't living at home with my family, and my mother was dying of cancer. I felt so alone. I did not know what to do, and I prayed, "God, you know there is no good in me. If you have any use in my life, it is yours. I will do whatever you put before me. Just please never leave me. I don't have the strength to go on." Sometime in the next couple of days, I just had an overwhelming peace that it was going to be all right. No matter what, it was going to be all right. My mom passed, and I don't know how to explain it, but it was all right. I was at peace with that. Since then, I've been calm because I know Jesus has got me. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. It's going to be all right. Since then, I don't have depression anymore. I don't take anything for depression. I don't know how to explain it. I don't struggle with anxiety anymore. It's amazing to me. And I have 18 months clean and sober this month. Amen. And I know that it wasn't my power that done that. Because if I could have done it on my own power, I would have done it a long time ago. Amen. What Jesus has done for me is he's become the loving father that I never had. He's become the head of my family. My family at home, my church family, my recovery family. He is the friend that I talk to throughout the day. I am never alone anymore. I can always have a conversation. Sometimes it's even a little joke, and I enjoy it. So for what Jesus is to me, he's my strength, my hope, my power, my peace. He's everything in my life today, and I don't know where I'd be without Jesus. He didn't give me my old life back. He gave me a new life, and I am so grateful. Thank you.
Wow. Brian, aren't you glad you came today? Golly, that was amazing. And what Brian just shared with us was exactly what they found. You know, these people came from afar, from the east. They didn't come from Babylon because they had studied something. They didn't come to get a final piece to the puzzle that they were looking for. They came, the Bible says, to worship him. They came because he was the truth. They came because they knew that he could make the difference that Brian just discussed here today. And for any of us here, Jesus makes that same difference. He stands here ready to make that same difference in any life who surrenders to him. Thank you, Brian. Thank you for sharing that. I want to close with this. C.S. Lewis, who was an atheist for a lot of his life, and when he became a Christian, I love reading C.S. Lewis because to this day, he's probably one of the best in apologetics of anybody that has ever lived. But C.S. Lewis said this. He said, "You know what? I believe in Christianity just as I believe in the sun. Why? Because I see it rise every morning, and by it, I see everything else much clearer. I see the sun rise every morning, and by it, I see everything else much clearer. I believe in Jesus Christ because I've seen the things that he's done in my life. And not only that, but everything else in my life makes sense when he's in it." And so that's true for all of us.
Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.